And that's what's going to be the sermon today, is the sovereignty of God. And when I looked at this, only by God's grace, mercy, and perfection am I able to even stand here today as not only a Christian bought by the blood of Christ, but be able to preach and have that calling to do so. So with that being said, sovereignty is a big word for a country boy like myself. So let's go ahead and break this down a little bit. I like to break it down so I can have a good building block here. I looked at the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. There was four different ways they described the word sovereignty. There is the sovereignty in the supreme power, especially over the body, over a political body specifically. I'm like, okay, I mean, the church is a body. You know, there's a business to a church. You have to make it run. I get that. Second, the description it gave me was the freedom from external control. It gave autonomy. I'm like, okay, we do believe in the local, divisible church. Absolutely. We're not a universal church by any means. We believe in a local, authoritative body. We get a little bit closer here. We're getting closer and closer. We have controlling influence. Okay. So sovereignty. So God definitely has an influence over our lives. He has direct influence over our lives and has the absolute control over that. But here's the fourth part I thought was really interesting. Sovereignty can also be acquainted with supreme excellence, and God is supremely excellent and perfect in everything he does. So with that little background of information, let's go into prayer real fast, and we'll get into some scripture here. Dear Lord, I thank you for the congregation I have here today, Lord. Let it be that we have open minds and open hearts to have your word be with us, Lord. Let the Spirit within us guide us as we continue into the hour of worship. Let it be that all praises go to you, that we can learn more about you, not just be hearers of your words, but be doers, Lord. We thank you and give praise to you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you want to go ahead and open up to Psalms 115. Psalms 115. It's going to be our first scripture here. Psalms 115. In Psalms 115, we're going to be looking at verse 3 specifically. Psalms 115, verse 3. It's going to take me a second here. I've got thin pages here, and I've got fat fingers, so apologies here. I'll give you all time to write that in your notes or to find it, but Psalms 115, verse 3. It states, 115:3. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Not they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. So here's the thing, with sovereignty, we do realize that God is a overwhelming power we can't comprehend in the way we are with a broken vessel. We don't have the capacity to understand what true sovereignty and true authority is with God. But however, we do know that we can put our trust into him. We can put our trust into everyone he puts into place, everything that he puts into place. But God is supremely excellent. He gives us all these things. He gives us truth in the Bible. He gives us our local divisible churches, and we can even trace our church from the founding from Jesus Christ. And I can say that's a definite blessing that I can find there. But he has the ability to do all he desires, and that's without asking too. The thing is, it says they have mouths, but they speak not. Here's the thing. If you choose not to speak not, it's not going to take long before God does make you speak. I didn't really want to preach at first. A lot of people can tell you preaching is one of the harder callings to have, and I'm not trying to brag on that, but it was hard for me in the fact that my family was not a Christian household. It was hard for me to say, hey, I have the call to preach. My mom instantly was like, you know, you're going to be living in a single-wide trailer, falling apart. You're never going to be able to take care of yourself. I'm like, single-wide trailer? That's better than the apartment I have. And here's the thing, God will take care of me no matter what. He'll take care of my wife and all the people around me as long as we put all of our faith and trust in him. That's the power in his sovereignty and his all-powerful being. But with that being said, he does everything without failure. He doesn't simply ask. You know, you have this time, you see the picture of a parent in Walmart and their kids screaming and hollering over a little Lego set, and you're just like, wow, I'm sorry, I really want to spank the kid in person now. Like, personally, because, you know, we don't have a lot of discipline anymore. But here's the thing, if the parent, imagine that being God our Father and the child, he says, stop crying, we're going to stop crying. So this being said, today we're going to look into what sovereignty does for us Christians. I know we see it as this big concept, like, okay, I get it. But there's three aspects I want to be looking into today. Firstly, God's sovereignty demonstrates his authority. So today we see authority in those that make decision or change. We can look to politicians, so like our Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden, we can look at Kamala Harris. We see all these big political figures that we put up on pedestals, and they have the authority to change a lot, but they don't sometimes. Well, God, the great thing about him is that we can put him on this pedestal and he has the power and ability to do everything he says he will and will hold out in that. He has all these covenants that you can look at through the Old and New Testament even, specifically the Old Testament covenants. He will follow through with every single one of them. With whether it be Noah, or whether it be the coming of the Son of Man for our Savior, he's always followed through. His authority is established in the matter that by his sovereignty, the whole world and universe was created. Go to Colossians 1:16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And I will apologize. I like to jump around here. So it's going to be Colossians 1:16. We're going to make a trip around the Bible today. But Colossians 1:16. I'll give you all a second to get there because it's going to take me a minute too. Colossians 1:16 states, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So specifically there, they were created for him. You know why? Because he made them. He's a perfect creator. So this demonstrates his authority. We see the United States government and they have authority, but you know why they have authority? God allowed it. God allowed them to have authority. He can make kingdoms rise. He can make them fall exactly as so. By being the creator and having all this power to create these things, imagine you make a automobile. Imagine if I had the power to make a Chevy Equinox right now. I'd make my own. It'd be a dream car. But the thing is, nobody would have control over it. I built it. It's my car. I can make it go how I want. God created each of us, so he knows how to make us go, how to make us stop, how to do what we need to do. So if he created all, how would he not have the authority to do so? A lot of times as Christians, we can be willful. We've made this idea like, oh, I got myself here. You have the multi-million dollar mansion. You've got your whatever fancy car, I don't know, maybe Lamborghini, I don't know, something fancy. And you're always going to think, oh, I'm self-made. No, God allowed you to get that. Even the blessings of medicine for people that have physical ailments or sickness, God allows that and permits it because he controls every single part of this world. In the scripture, the verse 16, I think it's really interesting to see it says visible and invisible. I can see all of you all at that's the beginning of my eye. I wish I could see much more. I'm partially colorblind. I was telling you all about that earlier. So I can't see everything that you all do. However, I wish I could see a little bit more because if you think about it, each little molecule in the air, each atom of our being, each building block that makes each of us is in direct control by God. He can make the stars and he still controls about, or not cares. He cares about the sparrow and controls the sparrow. He can control the way the earth rotates in such a massive object, but he cares each individual minute and second of my life just as much and has that divine authority because of his sovereignty, because he didn't have to ask to create the world. He did it just by speaking it into existence like that. It is beautiful to imagine such a perfect creation. It's a whole different sermon, but the way he created it was perfect even. The order of doing so. People will say, well, I believe in the millennium, and I believe millions of years occurred, and that's a farce. Let's get out of the door with that. God doesn't have to explain his will by science, because science is us just trying to comprehend his ways, which are beyond our own. And because we're trying to make our own comprehension of God, we will fail every time until he gives us that exact wisdom. So it was literally 7 days, and he did it in a perfect way, so everything was alive, taken care of. Unfortunately, we failed still, but that's our end of the bargain. Go to Proverbs 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Now, I don't know how many skips I have between the Old and New Testament, but like I said, I'm going to keep apologizing because I've got a lot of highlights here. I'm going to try to give you all as much scripture as I can to back up what I'm saying because I want to make sure I'm being scriptural here. Proverbs 19:21 states, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Whatever I think is not going to stand against God. I can be as willful as I can possibly can. You know, you can look at Jonah and the whale. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. I don't blame him. That looks awful. I wouldn't want to go to a city like, imagine if I went to Chicago right now. I don't want to go to Chicago. I had some people from our church go, and we were kind of laughing, like, why did you choose Chicago for a vacation of all places? But there was a car show, I think, there, and they end up visiting the Ark and Creation Museum on the way up there. So I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I'm glad y'all worked that out. But God had a design for them from the beginning of the world for them to end up there. They were used as a blessing. They got to meet a lot of cool people, I'm sure, and have a great time together and continue to worship God in the way that they do through everywhere they go, through everything they do. So with God's sovereignty, it demonstrates his authority because he doesn't have to ask us. He doesn't have to put a thought in our head and expect us to agree with it. Because here's the thing, I'm not going to agree with God because me as a man, I'm flawed. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that way we can understand his ways better. And with that being said, he's going to give you something and put it in your head, and it's going to become so persistent you can't let go of it. That's how preaching was for me. I couldn't imagine myself, because, you know, I always thought about, oh, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a doctor. Try to be a pharmacist. If I made medication for somebody today, they'd be dropping dead. I had to realize that wasn't the way that I needed to go with life, and God showed me that pretty quickly. But just as you have this thought in your head, God will override that. He will guide your thoughts. He will guide your actions. Because he created you, he has that authority. Think about it just this way as well. If we need like another illustration for this, I have to have a lot of illustrations. It's how my brain works. I need pictures, or I need to paint a picture for myself. But just as, say, Microsoft, this big computer company, makes a new laptop, they will have all authority over that type of laptop. They'll put a trademark on it, and anybody that tries to go about making their own version, they'll get sued. Just like that, God created everything in his creation, and for us to try to claim it as our own or to rob him of any of his glory, that's blasphemy right there, because God created every single part of this world. We can make something, and here's the even funnier part. We can make something out of what he gave us, and his creation can be perfect, and we can go take that timber and build a house out of it, and it's unlevel, because everything we make is going to be flawed and fall apart and fall to the fire that comes in Revelation. Open up to Ephesians 2:10 next. Ephesians 2, verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, just skip over here. Ephesians 2:10 states, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So I think it's really interesting here, "which God hath before ordained." And I'll get more into that because, you know, predestination, let's stick with that. You can argue because, and I might get off topic here. I'm getting excited. But Caitlin's dad has this friend. He's a Baptist in name, but not like the Independent Baptist or Missionary Baptist. He will try to talk doctrines of grace, or we'll try to talk about predestination, and he's close to it. He's like, "Well, I think God does what he does, and he knows about it. Nothing's a surprise to him." I'm like, "Okay, so you believe in predestination then, right?" He's like, "No, I don't. But you don't believe anything surprises God." Well, no. And he's like, it's almost right there, but he doesn't like that word predestination. It's like a curse word in the Christian world, unfortunately, but predestination exists. Because God created it, he knows exactly how he's going to use it, because he has a divine purpose and plan for everyone and everything that he's ever made. And that is a beautiful thing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 illustrates that for it, because we are his workmanship. And though we became broken vessels, he made us to be perfect first, to understand his ways and for us to follow and give him glory. And now we have to have him send his son down to the world and dethrone himself and become sin for us, and become a sacrifice for us to even have a Holy Spirit come within us, to even have a partition for our sins. And because of that, it's so beautiful, because everything was pre-laid before the foundations of the world. Talk about sovereignty there. He didn't have to ask for that to happen. He knew exactly our failures. He knew exactly what would happen with his son, and he did it willingly because he loved us. Secondly, God's sovereignty demonstrates his love, and that's why I was going into this. He sent his only begotten son. Sovereignty demonstrates God's love. By God's sovereignty, God demonstrated his love for each of us by writing us in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundations of the world. He does everything with purpose and with plan, just as the Psalm says. Still in Ephesians, let's go to chapter 1. We're looking at verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 states, "According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Thank God he is good. Thank God that he is perfect. Because the fact that I didn't deserve salvation, neither did anyone in this congregation today, but only because he saw the good in me for what he had, the love. He saw where my story ended. He didn't see the broken vessel that would be born into this world, because we come out of the womb speaking lies. He didn't see the beginning of myself as the end state. He saw his child in the end, because I'm not a part of this world. I'm only an ambassador for the kingdom. And though I was born here under the name Aubrey, my last name really is child of God, Christian. That is where I belong. And my being the wrong part here. I need to make sure I'm in the right paragraph. But Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 states that. So he created the world, he planned it, knowing our sin. Despite knowing our sin, he chose a select few of us to love and to save. And, you know, people can be like, well, God is so bad. Why wouldn't he save this person? Well, why does he bring pestilence and disease and cancer into this world? But Lord, he is perfect. We ruined his creation, if anything. And it is only by his mercy and good grace and sovereignty that he chose a couple of us. There will be very few, particularly few, especially as we approach the time of the end. But yet he still showed mercy. You know, people always talk about, I think in Dispatch I had to learn this lesson. People are always like, we have to save everybody. But sometimes you can only save a couple, and you have to save as many as you can. And God saved however much he decided. It's like, you know, he could have saved more, but it wasn't in his purpose or plan. It wasn't to fulfill his glory that he required of us, that all of us should be saved, because he makes diversity in the world. It makes strife. It makes challenge for us Christians to be able to give further trust into God. There is a reason behind us all. Until we're with him, we won't always achieve that ability to know everything. Unfortunately. So I pray that we can stay steadfast in that, knowing God has a divine purpose and will for us. But he loved us so that he predestinated us. I was written in a book before the foundation of the world, before I even took my first breath, before even the world was formed, a body of water, darkness, before any of it, each of us had a name written in there. That's love. Because if I already think about it, I have a little bit of road temper or rage. If somebody cuts me off, I get a little mad, and Caitlin sees me be a little feisty, and she thinks it's funny a little bit. But in all reality, we don't have as good of a time forgiving people. But to think that the person who created you forgives you, that's an even different level right there. Yeah. To think if I made a creation, say if I made a robot, and it turned against me like the movies do, and they rise up and make their own army of some sort, and they try to fight you all, I wouldn't really forgive them. I'd want to destroy every single one there ever was made. But God forgives his children of his creation, even though we're flawed. And he even sent his only begotten son for us. He had predestinated that moment before even Adam and Eve fell to sin. If you want to go over to Romans 6:23, we'll look at that. This is love that he does. Romans 6:23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It states, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We did not want anything to deserve salvation. We did everything to not deserve it. We did everything to be indebted to sin, to have chains bound to us, but we're no longer a slave to sin, but we're indebted to the perfect King and Father of heaven. That's true love. Because if you look back even in the 1800s, all these people were enslaved. And people fought for them. There was a trail, the Underground Railroad, to bring these people to the north and try to buy them what freedoms they could at the time. And people lost their lives. People were persecuted for this. And just like that, even with color for race, belief, Christians have been persecuted. Even just to get the King James Bible we so cling to, blood and tears were bought with this. The fact that all this had to happen for us to keep God's holy word in the most pure translation, non-perverted translation we could, I love him for that, because the fact that he allowed that to happen. And I'm in love with God even more that he permits me to be able to do his goodwill and grace. We're only vehicles of his love, vehicles of his good grace and instruction, because he didn't have to use us. He chose to use us. And here's the thing. It's worse that he chose to use me, because I'm pretty useless, unfortunately. A dead man without Christ, a dead man can't do anything. Thirdly, God's sovereignty demonstrates his victory, and that's my favorite part. Yes, I have love, but victory is even better if you ask me. I'm really competitive. But God's sovereignty demonstrates his victory. We have touched on God's love and his authority. And by putting these two together, we find comfort that God has the victory. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil can tempt God and Son as much as he possibly could, and there was temptations all around Jesus. And he was perfect, but he was also flesh. And he resisted that, and he became the perfect sacrifice. Satan thought he had a victory in the garden. He did for a short spell, but God allowed it, and that was all for God's glory, for us to learn, for there to be a reason for a Savior, for a reason for us to rely on him more. But God will always have the victory, and it stated that. Another scripture is John 16:33. And we'll pair this together. John 16, verse 33. 16:33 in the book of John. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Tribulations all around us. We have the LGBT, and unfortunately I ran into one at the gas station yesterday, and I'm just like, it's madness. How can you live with yourself? Because God made you so unique, and you want to change everything he made you. Yeah, there's the change that we have upon salvation, but that's not who you are. God made you man or woman based off his design. He made you to be you for a divine purpose, and you're perverting that. We have people who are murdering their own children. And I mean, we give more protection to a bald eagle's child than we do our own children and our own flock. And that's terrifying. We see people abuse their children and they get to keep them in their household. But yet the Christian is the one that's the persecutor. It doesn't make sense. It's a blind and perverse nation that we serve, unfortunately, but it will all be a victory to God. In this time that our hearts are broken, let it be that we stand fast in the sovereignty of God, because nothing is above him, because he said, I have overcome the world. And one day we'll not be in this world anymore. Like I said, we're only ambassadors of the kingdom. We're here to be good civilians and do our best to spread the light of the gospel, and it will probably most times be rejected, unfortunately, but that's what we're called to do. And don't let that light be squandered out. Don't let the devil steal your joy. We know why God has the victory over all battles, because he even created the battle. He created the eventuality for us to be tested. He isn't madness. He isn't confusion, but he permits things to happen, because he doesn't have to make these happen. He can permit these horrible atrocities to occur for us to learn about them. And the thing is, through the weakest moments we have, through the times that we're brought down the worst, we cling more to God because we have nothing else other than him. I remember times when I was in high school, I was just like, my grades are bad, my brothers are in and out of the house, and everything seems like chaos, but yet God is still here. And that's what made me cling to him so much more. And I feel like I've kept with that because even in basic or when I'm away from my wife, I had all these men I've got in charge of to teach, and God used me and had a reason for me to be there. Yeah, I missed my wife, but God was always with me through every moment, and Caitlin can even attest to that. God is always with us. He created the scenario. He allowed it to happen, and he did it for us to learn to be better Christians, for us to be a better example for those around us, and to maybe even let people see the light that's within us. I think the biggest testimony can be the fact that the way we live our lives, we can preach the gospel day in and day out, but until we enact that, I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm pretty willful with that. If my leadership tells me, hey, we're going to do a 5-minute plank, I don't like planks to begin with, but if I don't see them doing it with me, I'm probably not going to do it, because, you know, that sucks. It really does. I don't want to hold myself up like a bridge for 5 minutes. But until that person takes that step and works in that with you, it's like embrace the suck together, as Army says. We're going to have to embrace the world together, unfortunately, but stand fast in God and reflect God's light into a dying world. But we also have to realize it isn't just going to be wrath, wrath, wrath. God doesn't appoint his children to wrath. He never leaves us without supply. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:9 for this. 1 Thessalonians. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And even better yet, we're going to make a big jump here. Psalms 23:4. Now, this one's really famous. I know we probably heard it a lot, but I always give them comfort reading this. But Psalms 23, verse 4 states, Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's supply is infinite. We always reach out for prayer, and, you know, a lot of people will say, why do I trouble God with my prayer? We don't trouble God with prayer because it's easy as snapping his fingers if it be his will. Now, we don't like the answer sometimes, but God delights in hearing from his children. He knows our wants and desires and our needs before we can even approach his throne. But he takes delight in that he knows that his children need him and cling to him and love him. Just as I still call my dad about car questions if I'm trying to fix my car, God bought another dupe. My dad delights in the fact that I can trust him for that. And that I know that he has authoritative mind on it, because he tells me what to do and it usually ends up working. Likewise, God has the authority to tell me what I need to do with my life. He'll reveal it through various circumstances, whether it be people talking to me, me seeing something around me in my life or me reading something different in Scripture, God will provide me with that. He doesn't just provide a mission and leave you alone with that. And that's the part of the victory right there. There's so many people that are like, I have this mission in my head. I want to go get a church bus or a van. I want to go help pick up children or families that want to come to church. Well, here's the thing. God will provide the van. Don't you worry. You can get really fearful over it, but God will provide. Just Caitlin's dad ended up buying a church van out of the blue. He shows up randomly to the house. Whole Ford FE350, whatever the thing is, the whole bus. Pretty good condition, too. I think we ended up cleaning it out that night. And we just sat in there, and I was like, wow, God is great. We ended up, there was conflicting views in that church for what happened, because I think it was a lot of work, and you didn't have a CDL yet, and I think in patience, it would have worked. But God, either way, will supply. He'll take away. He'll give what he needs. And even with gifts, like, you know, we have preachers come forward, and we have them come back and come forth and come back, and we have pastors go retire, and all those things happen for a reason, because we're not always going to be the preacher. We're not always going to be the Sunday school teacher, because God has a different purpose for different times of our life. There are seasons within our life. There's spring, summer, winter, and fall. And I know there was a season where I wasn't prepared to teach the gospel. There was a season I wasn't prepared to come speak for you all, and God made me, because I'm not one with eloquent speech. Just like Paul would say, I'd come with the Lord Jesus Christ instead to speak for me. That's exactly my mentality with it. But God can change your gift even. He can take away your musical talent. He can take away your ability to speak or walk if it be for his glory. And, you know, there's still victory in that, because there's a reason. Don't be diminishing God's love for you because it's not exactly as you please right now. God's sovereign for a reason. He wouldn't be sovereign if we had influence over his ideas, and he wouldn't be able to have predestination if we had a say in anything. And if we had to say anything, I bet you 1,000 times over that it wouldn't be as glorious as God has it. God's perfect design is something that will always trump ours. I find comfort in God's sovereignty, his all-knowing, his all-powerful being, his omnipotence, his omniscience. He's all-knowing in wisdom and never-ending kindness. I put my faith and trust upon my Father, who leads and directs me and gracefully uses me to his good will. And then another famous scripture here, Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 states, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that loveth God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Each of us are called according to his purpose. You may not see it today, but let it be today that you think about that. You pray to God, what is my purpose if you're lacking that? Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in not only my community, but where do I fit in my church? Where do I fit in my workplace? Even within my family, what is my place? What is my role to fulfill there, Lord? Let it be clear that we can pray to you and get that guidance. Let it be that I not only have the revelation of what you have me designed to do, but Lord, also let it be that you supply me with the ability to do so. If it be patience, Lord, take away my impatience and make me patient. I know I wasn't patient before. It took me a long time. I've got the redheaded temper, unfortunately. It's gone away with time. Maybe it's because of my wife that I've been blessed with. But God will supply you. Don't let it be that you're shortcoming God because you're taking away his power, taking away your understanding of how powerful he is by saying he can't. By you saying he can't shows your lack of faith. Even the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. God moved mountains. He created them. So why couldn't he be able to move them? I mean, to erupt such a structure and not be able to move them seems kind of like a flawed plan. And thankfully, God's not flawed. But even just a few crumbs of grace, as you see in the New Testament, there's the image of a woman who is so poor, and just even the crumbs that she feeds her dogs, if that was grace, the crumbs of grace, even that would be enough. Because even the crumbs of grace saved my unworthy soul. It is using me in a way I never thought would happen. I've traveled. I've met extraordinary people. I've got to be a blessing to others. And I've got to see life in a way that I never thought I would have gotten to. I had a very closed worldview. And I've gotten to see a lot of things I never knew were happening, unfortunately. But at the same time, it opens my heart to show more sympathy, to show more of God's light and to love. And I pray that each of us, if we don't know our direction today, let it be that we're in prayer, whether it's finding an office to fulfill within our church, or it's a being within our family or church, whether it's us figuring out how we're going to lead those around us, or even to be a follower, because we have to have followers too. Lord, let it be revealed upon us. And with closing, I pray that each one of you all have the guidance of the Lord to understand He is sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing. Find comfort in that strength. Don't just allow God, because God's going to do it anyways, but be comfortable letting God take control, and you'll find the greatest peace ever known in your life. And I can assure you that. And I thank you all for your time.